Warming temps and heavy rains can spell trouble for your home. Don't wait for a problem. Get a free foundation inspection from PermaSeal. Stay dry, stay protected. For peace of mind, call 800-421-SEAL or visit permaseal.net.
John Landecker, so glad you're with us. Now, we opened the show there with a clip, an old clip from the Ed Sullivan Show, featuring the group The Mamas and The Papas. Many of you probably know about that. I'll tell you one person who does, and that's Scott Shea, who's on the phone now. He's the producer. He's a producer, a music history buff, and author of All the Leaves Are Brown. Isn't that right, Scott?
That's right, John. All the Leaves Are Brown. How the Mamas and the Papas came together and broke apart.
Yep, and what a great, well, I don't know. I was going to say, what a great story. I mean, in a way, it's a interesting story. There's a lot of bumps in the road. Let's just put it that way.
Yeah.
A lot of bumps. Put it mildly. So just reset, if you will, for those who don't know for some reason, because the Mamas and the Papas have not gotten a lot of, I don't know, publicity, airplay, whatever you want to call it, over the past few decades, whereas other bands and groups from that era have. So fill us in, Scott. Who were the Mamas and the Papas?
Well, they were a folk rock quartet, I guess you could probably say, kind of in the same sphere as the Byrds and the Loving Spoonful. They all kind of came from the same area in Greenwich Village, New York. I mean, they all came from different parts of the country, but it's kind of where they assimilated in the early 1960s. And they were all in folk groups. You know, there was a big folk boom in the early 1960s with that, the Rise of the Kingston Trio, and then, you know, more authentic folk music came after that with, like, Pete Seeger and Bob Dylan and, you know, all the members of the groups just kind of rode that wave, you know. That's where I think rock and roll music, you know, had kind of gotten a little bit corporate in the late 50s and early 60s. So a lot of those youngsters grew up listening to Elvis and, you know, Jerry Lee Lewis and Little Richard. They kind of moved over to folk music because that's kind of where the zeitgeist went, you know. So, And when the Beatles came, it kind of eviscerated acoustic music, and all those guys who and gals who I mentioned that were listening to Elvis, they kind of reignited their love for that kind of music, and they all dropped their Martins and acoustic guitars and picked up Rickenbackers and Gretches and Fenders and started rock and roll combos, and that's where the Mamas and the Papas came in. They followed suit.
Who were the members? Who comprised the Mamas and the Papas?
Well, there was John Phillips and his wife, Michelle, and then Denny Doherty. He was the lead singer, the tenor, and Kath Elliott, who was kind of like a co-lead singer, that great female voice that you hear kind of soaring over everybody there in the background, and Joseph sang lead on a lot of their hits.
Yeah.
So that was the foursome.
In fact, Kath Elliott was referred to by many as Mama Cass, and had some... Had a hit record of her own after breaking up with the rest of the group, and continued around in the entertainment circles for quite a while until her untimely passing. But she had a great voice and a great personality, and these four of them, they didn't play instruments as far as I know. I remember seeing John Phillips with a guitar in his hand, but... Right. You know, there was nobody on drums or keyboards or anything else. And they were basically about this harmony, as far as I could tell.
They were. Yeah, harmony was John's thing. John was a very good guitarist, but he wasn't like a Jimi Hendrix or, you know, Stephen Stills or something. He was, he wrote really good music, and he loved harmony. You know, when he was growing up in this, he was a little bit older than everybody. He was, you know, born in 1935, whereas the others were kind of born in the early to mid 40s. And so he kind of, when he was in high school, it was all about the high lows and the four freshmen and the four lads. And that was kind of, that's what he loved, you know, and he kind of brought it into, like, kind of like Brian Wilson did, He kind of brought it into the rock and roll of the early to mid 1960s, you know. So and arranging was his thing. He could take really average singers and make them sound great. And then when he had great singers, you know, that was just like, you know, that was a lot of putty to work with. Especially when he had somebody like Cass Elliott and Denny, and you know, even using the Journeyman, he had Scott McKenzie. And so you know, I think he's as far as an arranger is, I think he's up there with Brian Wilson. Certainly wasn't as prolific as Brian Wilson, but, you know, had he focused solely on music, I think we would be talking about him in that kind of sphere, you know?
We're talking to Scott Shea, who is a music history buff, an author of the book All the Leaves Are Brown, How the Mamas and the Papas Came Together and Broke Apart. 720 WGN, John Landecker with Scott Shea, who's got a book out about the Mamas and the Papas, All the Leaves Are Brown, How the Mamas and the Papas Came Together and Broke Apart. So that's from Creek Alley, as you well know, Scott. And
yes,
and the names that go flying by there are exactly what you were talking about. Like, they're out there, it's autobiographical, they're talking about members of the Byrds. I think that's a reference of... I'd have to go back and listen to it again. I mean, even Barry McGuire, who did Eve of Destruction, right, he's mentioned in there. John Sebastian, Love and Spoonful. A lot of people just hanging out at that time. And that was the scene, so to speak.
Was like I said, they were all folk musicians, and you know, they all live in a relatively close area, close proximity in Greenwich Village, right all around Washington Square Park, you know. And John and Michelle lived in I think it was called the Washington Square Park Hotel at the time. It's called something different now. And I know, you know, there's a place called the Albert, which is you know, just down the street. That's where John Sebastian and Zal Yanofsky lived. And
right.
I think Denny lived there, and Cass too. And there's a lot of people too in that weren't mentioned in that story, in that song. You know, that were part of the story, that, you know, David Crosby was in,
right,
in that group, you know, Scott McKenzie, a host of us. It was a very, very, very tight-knit small community, and they really blew up a couple of years later when the folk rock came.
So let's get to, I mean, for those of us are familiar, the Mamas and the Papas had some hits, California Dreamin', I Saw Her Again, Creek Alley, put out a couple of very good albums, did some great covers, like Dedicated to the One I Love. And then what happened? We're talking sex, drugs, and rock and roll and more, aren't we?
Yeah, you know what really happened was the Monterey Pop Festival came along, and John was he was the principal organizer in that. The idea was brought to him. It wasn't his idea, but when he was given the idea, he really kind of commandeered it. Mm-hmm. And made it his own, and he really wanted to get the cutting edge. He didn't want it to be like a Dick Clark review, you know. He wanted it to be cutting edge music, because he was really trying to elevate music, rock and roll, to the level of respectability that folk rock, the folk music, and that jazz was enjoying. And he thought, you know, with the advent of the Beatles, and music, rock and roll had gotten much more sophisticated. So, you know, he set out about bringing all the San Francisco groups in, like the Grateful Dead and Jefferson Airplane, Quicksilver, Messenger Service, and Otis Redding, and they got the Who from England, and the Jimi Hendrix Experience, and it really kind of changed things. You know, that was the start of the Summer of Love. Sergeant Pepper, Lonely Hearts Club Band by the Beatles had just come out weeks earlier. You know, music was changing again, and they really rode the precipice of that. And really, it changed overnight. The culture of rock and roll, we look back, I'm sure it didn't, but it probably, you know, looking back, it seems like it did. It's only, you know, weeks later and that things really just started changing in the way people approach, artists approach music. And really, kind of any group that sang harmony, like the Four Seasons or the Beach Boys or the Mamas and the Papas, were almost like immediately square. And the Mamas and the Papas were victims of that, victims of their own creation, really, the Monterey Pop Festival. And the Seasons and the Beach Boys, it took them a couple years, took them until the early 70s, but they came back, and they came back strong. But the Mamas and the Papas, they just never did. It was just four disparate personalities, and they just kind of fell under the pressure of all that.
You know, many of us are well aware of the interpersonal relationships and the problems with Fleetwood Mac, but I think I might be correct in saying that the Mamas and the Papas were the forerunner of, of all those kinds of things. You know, relationships between members of the group, drug abuse, and all that fun stuff that breaks people apart in the long run.
Yeah, all that toxic stuff, you know, they were just, they just fell right into that. And unfortunately, you know, I think the others were survivors. I mean, except for Cass, obviously,
right.
You know, she passed away. That was part of the reason of her demise. But, and I think Michelle and Denny were eventually able to get over it and live, you know, Michelle's still with us. We lost Denny about 15 years ago, but John, it was just, he just became, you know, just a complete addict. You know, he got into harder stuff in the 70s, you know, and he just, the effort that he put into making music, he eventually just put into getting high and even becoming a pusher, you know.
Yeah,
a drug dealer.
Yeah, it's a really sad story.
It really is. It really is.
I've heard some terrible tales. I mean,
we all have.
Yes, which is really too bad because, you know, I'm of that era as a kid, so to speak, and I really liked the Mamas and the Papas when they first came out. I had a couple of their vinyl albums. You know, I love the sort of breathy, sexy take they did on "Dedicated to the One I Love." You know, I was a teenage boy. I had those hormones going when that song was on. And then it was like, poof. They were like, they were not there anymore. And that was a little off-putting. And I'm glad to see that someone like you is going to dig into what really happened and set the record straight. You know, no pun intended, but I saw in the press release that was sent here that, I want to say the book again is called All the Leaves Are Brown, How the Mamas and the Papas Came Together and Broke Apart. It has already been optioned for a film. Is that true?
Yep. Yes, it has. Lisa Saltzman, the producer, is optioned, is trying to get a... She has a Mama Cass biopic screenplay already written, and she's looking into doing something with the Mamas and the Papas, either like a full-fledged film or maybe like a limited-run television series.
Sure.
Something like that.
Did you happen to catch any of Daisy Jones and the Six on Amazon Prime?
I have not yet, but I've heard so many good things about it. I'm just dying to check it out.
It's Fleetwood Mac. I think the landscape is prime for what you want to do because that limited series was really successful. It just reeks of Fleetwood Mac. And I could just see a quote-unquote Mamas and Papas, sort of not in the same exact genre, but close, you know, and I think the audience is definitely would be there, and I'm glad to hear that that's in the works. Do you have any idea? I know these things take a long time. Do you have any kind of timeline on that at all?
No, I really don't. It's kind of in their hands now.
Yeah.
You know, I just gave them the permission, and she'll check in. Lisa will check in with me every now and again to give me an update, but nothing really yet. It's all still kind of fresh, you know.
Right. Why do you think the Mamas and the Papas sort of faded from the radio and our musical consciousness over the years, where other bands and groups from that era didn't?
Well, you know, you were in radio. You've been in radio for a long time, you know.
I have.
tastes change, and you know what was big in 1964, 65, not so big in 1968. You know, the Cream came along, and the Who, the Jimi Hendrix, these power trios, and you know, and not only did the Mamas and the Papas fade away, but the Loving Spoonful faded away.
They had a big breakup, I believe. There was some major. Wasn't there a Loving Spoonful drug accusation that was not right, you know, between...
I can tell you the,
Go ahead.
I can tell you, it's in the book. Briefly, I'll tell you that Zalianowski got busted in San Francisco and for marijuana possession, and he was just grilled and threatened with deportation by the police, and he turned on his dealer. He gave up his name, and then the progressive underground press got a hold of it, right, and just zeroed in on the Love and Spoonful, told people to not buy their albums. Right. And it was just like right around the time of the Monterey Pop Festival, so they just kind of imploded. And a year later, they fired Zal a couple months later, and then John Sebastian left a year later, and then they kind of fizzled out. And then the Byrds, by 1968, Roger McGuinn was the only original Byrd left, and he basically had three hired hands.
Yes, that's right.
And they lasted a little bit longer, but they didn't have the type of success that they had experienced in the earlier days.
We're talking to Scott Shea. Scott, we've got to wrap it up. I'm sorry. I wish we had some more time because this is really interesting, and I can't wait to read the book, All the Leaves of Brown, How the Mamas and Papas Came Together and Broke Apart. I'm guessing that it's available Amazon and every other place we get books these days. Am I correct?
Yeah. In fact, it just dropped today, so you can go right on Amazon
great.
Or Books
okay,
a Million
cool.
or Barnes & Noble. Yeah.
Awesome. Thank you so much for being with us, Scott. Can't wait to read the book.
Appreciate it, John. Appreciate being on with such a radio legend from Chicago.
Thank you.